The following is provided through the IAAIS Program Share Service.
Hello and welcome to this week's World Traveler. I'm Leah Blackman with the Virginia Voice. Our first article is from NewYorkTimes.com. Dining in style at 90 miles an hour. Train travel is thriving in Central Europe, and so are dining cars. We rode the rails from Prague to Zurich and beyond, sampling regional dishes and savoring the views. By Evan Rail, April 6, 2023. It was a familiar sound in any decent Central European restaurant. The reassuring whack, whack, whack of a chef flattening the schnitzel I'd ordered from the waiter a minute earlier. The crisp tablecloth in front of me shined bright white, and the banquet seating offered the same minimalist design as some of the region's trendiest spots. But one aspect was different from my other recent fine dining experiences. In the panoramic window facing my table, an old world landscape was flying by at over 90 miles an hour. I was in the dining car of a train, halfway from my home in Prague to an event in Budapest. Despite the great service and cool decor, the meal was wildly better than I had any right to expect. A crisp and probably thin fried chicken filet, tender on the inside, accompanied by the platonic ideal of potato croquettes and a craft beer that had been custom brewed for the train. It was not just good, it was spectacular. Much like the renaissance of night trains, dining cars are blossoming in Europe. Instead of the tired fare of previous eras, many now offer seasonal menus that highlight regional recipes and local producers. On some trains, the standards are quite high, though prices are generally affordable, with main courses often starting around 12 euros or about $13. The public has caught on. On social media, fans share photos of their favorite onboard meals. Connoisseurs argue over which railways have the best menus, rooting for PKP in Poland, Deutsche Bahn in Germany, or Czech Railways, where I'd had my schnitzel epiphany. It is completely unlike the situation in the United States, where Amtrak killed off most dining cars on train routes east of the Mississippi River in 2019. To learn more, I reached out to David Ecker, who runs the @diningcar Twitter account from his home in Vienna. The food on European trains seems to be flourishing in Central and Eastern Europe, he said, while dining cars have become a rarity in much of Western Europe. I think in Central and Eastern Europe, you get the best experience, he said. But of course, if you're looking for the highlights, then you have to go to Switzerland. With a few tips from Mr. Ecker, I planned a trip that would allow me to sample a handful of dining cars, routing my journey through Vienna, since much of the Renaissance in European train travel seems to be driven by Austria's national railway, OBB. From Prague, I would retry the Czech Railways dining car, then connect to a Polish train with the Wars dining car. After an overnight stay in Vienna, I would take the superfast OBB railjet train to visit a friend in Zurich and take a train to the Alps. Later, I'd head home while sampling the meals on Germany's national railway, taking Deutsche Bahn speedy intercity express trains. Before I left, I loaded the Eurail Interrail Rail Planner app onto my phone and bought a 5-day first-class adult train pass for 376 euros. I looked up dining car menus online, booked a couple of hotels along my route, then packed my bag and walk to the Czech capital's main train station, skipping lunch to ensure I had a healthy appetite. Schnitzel, goulash, and Moravian wine. I wasn't the first passenger in the dining cart en route to the Czech Republic's eastern city of Ostrava, which was how I hit my first snag. I wanted to order an updated Czech classic, pork roast with grilled zucchini and spinach. But the charmingly goofy young waitress happily informed me that the last two portions had been ordered by the burly gentleman nursing the first of many bottles of Pilsner Urquell beer at the next table over. Cruelly, they had also taken the last portions of the cream of carrot soup with tarragon. I opted for goulash, as well as another schnitzel. Pork this time, with potato salad. As the barren fields of the central Czech countryside gave way to the snow-capped hills of the Bohemian Moravian Highlands, I cooled down with one of the train's unique drinks, a New England-style pale ale from the craft brewery Pivovar Krust, brewed in partnership with another local maker, Pivovar Falcon, exclusively for the JLV dining cars on Czech trains and available nowhere else. Super fruity and very low in bitterness, it was an excellent mood-elevating aperitif. There was nothing wrong with my goulash either. Served hot, filled with chunks of tender beef and potatoes, wrapped in a thick paprika-infected broth. The pork schnitzel that followed seemed like a step down from the transcendent version that had inspired my interest. Crunchy enough on the outside, but not as tender inside. The potato salad redeemed the meal, echoing my grandmother's recipe. A tower of well-cooked potato cubes, larded with pieces of dill pickles, boiled egg, and tender carrots, bound together in a rich mayonnaise dressing. Another exclusive bottle took things to another level. Zinoven Kerner 2020, a late harvest semi-dry wine from the country's eastern region of Moravia. Moravian whites have gained a buzz in the United States in recent years, and I could see why. Descended from Riesling and Trollinger, the Kerner grape showed off flinty mineral notes with a touch of raisins and honey, like its parent Riesling, but with its own style. I left the train feeling satisfied, not least because of the price. The whole meal came out to 412 Czech koruny, or about $19. Paprika chicken and organic beer. After an hour at the station at Ostrava, I was ready to see how a Polish dining car would compare. But when I boarded the PKP train, I learned an important lesson about dining cars. "I guess they left it in Poland," the conductor replied, when I asked where our train's dining car might be. 3 hours later, I disembarked at the main station in Vienna, famished. That was the only disaster I experienced. After a dreamy night at the city's new Hotel Josephine, I stopped for a light breakfast at the historic Viennese coffee house Cafe Sparrow in preparation for lunch aboard the OBB railjet to Zurich. The flat landscape outside Vienna gave way to hills, followed by mountains. I sent my son a photo of the display showing the train's speed as 233 kilometers, or just under 145 miles an hour. It felt like we were on a plane, though the seats were more spacious. As new and shiny as it appeared, the dining car was less enjoyable than the older Czech Railways version in many regards, with fewer seats, a plastic feel, and no tablecloths, crisp, white, or otherwise. Service was less attentive too, reflected in the lukewarm truffle celery soup, which was otherwise creamy and filling, hinting of nutmeg and underplaying the truffle oil notes. A regional main dish, Kärntner Richtert, 9.90 euros, improved things. A rib-sticking cassoulet-like stew of pearl barley, white beans, and smoked pork morsels from the Austrian region of Carinthia near Italy and Slovenia. Fragrant with marjoram and parsley, it put a point on the OBB scoreboard. Another plus was the remarkable Domaine Riesling Terrassen 2022, 12.7 euros. A white wine from Austria's Wachau region on the Danube, featuring intense stone fruit, lime, and pear notes. As the scenery gained elevation, I watched for snow, but saw very little until after Innsbruck. Once the sun was behind the mountains, I ordered supper. Organic paprika chicken with spatzel, 12.9 euros, and a local organic beer, 4.3 euros. I didn't mind the cold temperature on the lager, but I would have preferred the chicken warmer and with fewer crunchy bits of cartilage, or whatever it was that was not meat. It had a flavorful, creamy sauce, however, that soaked nicely into the pasta. Overall, it was a decent effort, and I appreciated that the Austrian menu also listed vegetarian and vegan options. But my meal suffered from the Railjet dining car's atmosphere and lackluster service. And as I left the train station in Zurich, I was already looking forward to my trip through the Alps next morning. Smoked trout and Prosecco. At first, it seemed like Zurich hadn't changed much since my last visit 30 years earlier. But I noticed a number of new buildings as our train slipped out of the city, sliding under the sunrise alongside Lake Zurich toward Chur, where my next connection waited. Across the platform, I spotted the scarlet cars of the Rhaetian Railway and the wood-lined century-old dining car of a transalpine train known as the Gormino. The waiter welcomed me graciously, extending his hand for me to choose any table I liked in the vintage 1920s dining car. It was just before 9 a.m. when we departed. A few minutes later, I was sampling the first bites of my fisherman's breakfast, 28 francs or about $31. Cold fillets of smoked trout, warm rolls, butter, jam, honey, Prosecco, and coffee, along with a croissant so hot, crisp, and flaky, I thought it might have been deep fried. It was an experience of another order, as Mr. Eckerd had said. The tablecloths were cream-colored, not white, and felt soft and smooth instead of crisp and starchy. Tiny lamps illuminated each table, with foldable metal hooks next to them to hold champagne bottles, I imagined. It felt like the love child of the Orient Express and a mid-century ski chalet, with 6 4-seat booths and 5 2-seat tables, furnished in shiny wood paneling and thick brocade fabric. I sipped my Prosecco, ate a bite of buttery smoked trout, and counted my blessings as the train rose into snowy peaks of the Alps on a 2-hour journey to St. Moritz. After disembarking in St. Moritz, visiting the museum dedicated to the painter Giovanni Segantini, and sightseeing for a few hours, I boarded a different Gormino train back to Chur. It offered more of the same, only better. For lunch, I chose the 3-course prefix menu, 49 francs, and a glass of Vinsali Blanc de Noir, 9 francs, an elegantly dry white wine. The service was impeccable, with palpable attention to detail. The buttery potato leek soup arrived steaming hot. Chicken stroganoff included yellow heirloom carrots, perfectly cooked, a snowball of short grain rice, and a pepper-scented sauce. For dessert, the flaky caramelized apple pie split the difference between an old-world tart and the as-American-as recipe. Outside the window was a series of photo-worthy viaducts, tunnels, bridges, and mountain peaks, intensified by the exquisite cuisine and historic decor inside. Announcements in English and German explained that our route was part of a UNESCO World Cultural Heritage listing, which seemed fair. The scenery was over-the-top gorgeous. But if I could, I'd give an award to the dining car itself. Currywurst, and potato rosti. Things had to come down from the literal heights of the Rhaetian Railway, but the next day's Deutsche Bahn dining car to Karlsruhe, Germany, tried its best. A non-alcoholic Erdinger wheat beer, 4.4 euros, offered the proper metallic notes of the boozy original and made a rustic pairing for my lentil soup, 10.9 euros, filled with Frankfurter-style sausage slices and served with an organic roll. My waiter was surly but attentive, and the maroon booths of the ice train felt clean and spacious. The lack of a tablecloth on the plastic surface became apparent, however, when the train dipped into a curve, sending my beer bottle on a slide toward disaster that I averted with a grab at the last second. Another dish, potato rosti with applesauce, 6.5 euros, sounded fun but flopped, arriving too soggy to eat. As we approached my destination for the night, I found myself thinking that Deutsche Bahn could do better, which they did on my way home the next day. On an ice train across southern Germany, the service was helpful, not surly, and the currywurst with French fries, 5.9 euros, tasted better than anything I remembered in the snack's hometown, Berlin, with crisp fries to soak up the ketchup and curry powder. It seemed like junk food, or at least street food, might be where the Deutsche Bahn dining car hit its stride. As I approached Prague on my last train, the app on my phone showed that I'd traveled over 2,400 kilometers, or 1,500 miles, spending over 32 hours on 12 trains over the course of 5 days. I had a much better appreciation for dining cars, but I couldn't help thinking of what I hadn't tasted yet. I still hadn't tried the food on trains in Slovakia or Hungary, which Mr. Eckert had also recommended. I still hadn't eaten on trains in Romania or Serbia, which many fans love, and somewhere out there was a Polish dining car with my dinner on it. Somewhere out there, I thought, was another culinary revelation. That was Dining in Style at 90 Miles an Hour by Evan Rail, April 6, 2023. Our next article is also from the New York Times. In Europe, it's planes versus trains. For many travelers, rail is the way to go. Amid concerns about climate change, Europe is investing heavily in trains. The idea is to make rail more appealing, especially as an alternative to short-haul flights. By Paige McClanahan, April 5, 2022. Train travel in Europe is on the upswing, thanks to growing interest from travelers, a renaissance in sleeper trains, and new investments in high-speed rail lines across the continent. But to see major growth in passenger traffic, which is one of the goals of the European Green Deal, the continent's railways will have to overcome a number of challenges, including booking difficulties and competition with short-haul flights, which remain the cheaper option on many multi-country routes. In France and Austria, the pandemic brought the planes versus trains question to the forefront. The French government's COVID bailout package of Air France required the airline to eliminate domestic flights when there was a rail option that took under 2.5 hours to complete. The measure was later written into law. The Austrian government placed a similar condition on its support to Austrian airlines, demanding that the company end its 50-minute flight between Vienna and Salzburg, a journey that passengers can make by train in about 3 hours. The European Commission also designated 2021 as the Year of European Rail, seizing the opportunity to spread the word about train travel, particularly to a younger audience. While passenger traffic was growing steadily through 2019, it was starting from a low base. Before the pandemic, only 8% of all passenger travel in the European Union was by train. But in addition to the public relations campaign, European leaders are also working to reduce practical barriers to cross-border train travel by introducing new data-sharing systems, replacing outdated infrastructure, and building new high-speed routes, particularly in Central and Eastern Europe. The idea is that for train trips of less than 4 hours, no business people will choose to fly, and for trips below 6 hours, normal people, tourists, will take the train, said Alberto Mazzola, the executive director of the Community of European Railways and Infrastructure Companies, which is based in Brussels. Mr. Mazzola added that government leaders are throwing their weight behind railway infrastructure, particularly high-speed lines. We heard this 20 years ago, he added. The difference today is that we are seeing the investments. Night trains on the rise. Europe's night trains are a big part of the rising tide of rail on the continent. On the decline since the 1990s, overnight services suffered alongside the growth of low-cost air carriers and a rise in government investment in high-speed trains, whose faster daytime services often displace their slower nighttime counterparts. But that trend was already starting to shift before the pandemic, and now the momentum behind night trains appears to be building fast, with new sleeper connections cropping up across the continent. It's true that we have a real revival of night trains in France and in Europe, said Alain Krakowicz, the director of travel at SNCF, France's state-owned railway company. It is a very strong demand, both from customers, but also from elected officials, mayors, and the government. Last year, SNCF relaunched overnight services between Paris and Nice, with tickets starting as low as 19 euros, about $21, for a midweek low season ticket. That compares with 31 euros, not including baggage fees or the cost of airport transfers for a short flight on EasyJet, leaving on a similar day. SNCF also offers overnight services between Paris and Toulouse and between Paris and Lourdes in southwestern France. A night train to Hendaya, a French coastal town near the Spanish border, will run in July and August. And change-free overnight service between Paris and Berlin, a journey that currently takes 8 hours and requires at least one change, is scheduled to begin in December 2023 as a cooperative effort between four European operators. So far, said Mr. Krakowicz, demand has been strong. It's true that this is a huge draw for passengers. The idea of being able to fall asleep in Paris and wake up in Nice saves a night in a hotel, said Mr. Krakowicz. It allows you to arrive very early in Nice without being tired. It's a product that has many benefits, but we had to invest heavily to relaunch it. We hope to keep this momentum going. It's a similar story elsewhere in Europe. Last year, the Swiss Federal Railways launched a new overnight connection from Zurich to Amsterdam, with stops in Basel and Cologne, adding to overnight services, connecting Switzerland's largest city to Berlin, Budapest, Prague, and Zagreb, among other destinations. European Sleeper, a Dutch-Belgian company founded by two entrepreneurs, is planning an overnight connection between Brussels and Prague, with stops in Amsterdam and Berlin, among other cities. They hope to launch the service this summer, but the start date is not yet confirmed. Meanwhile, the Austrian operator OBB's Nightjet service has recently begun offering an overnight link between Vienna and Paris, with tickets ranging from about 30 euros for a normal train seat to 200 euros or higher, depending on the date of travel, for a first-class private cabin. A midweek, low-season flight on the same route costs 44 euros, not including baggage fees on the low-cost carrier Transavia. Nightjet, which also runs overnight services to cities like Rome, Milan, Brussels, and Amsterdam, is offering passengers more options to book private compartments, a NightJet spokesman said, adding that some cabins have a private shower and toilet. The prices scale with the amenities provided. A couple traveling overnight from Vienna to Amsterdam on a weeknight in July, for instance, can book two seats in a private compartment for a total of 129 euros. Alternatively, they could opt for a two-bed sleeper cabin for 378 euros for both travelers, including breakfast. Add a private shower and toilet, and the price rises to 418 euros. At the moment, all of the NightJet rolling stock is in use, but new services should be coming online in the years ahead, the spokesman said. More than 30 new sleeper trains should be delivered beginning in 2023. Ongoing challenges. But while night trains are offering new connections for travelers, they serve only specific routes. People who are looking to make connections between cities that aren't linked on those networks continue to face challenges, both in booking their tickets and in the prices they are charged. Some long-distance journeys with multiple stops are still much cheaper by plane than by train. The fact remains that, despite the European Union's support for rail, the bloc's governments continue to grant enormous subsidies to airlines in the form of bailout packages as well as low taxes on jet fuel. And although that could change soon, and while the French and Austrian bans on short-haul flight bans attracted attention in Europe, in effect, the measures ended flights on just one route, Vienna to Salzburg in Austria, and three in France, Paris to Bordeaux, Paris to Lyon, and Paris to Nantes. In the French case, passengers are still allowed to fly those routes if they make up part of a longer plane journey. Herwig Schuster, a transport campaigner for Greenpeace's EU Mobility for All campaign, called the French and Austrian measures a starting point and said the European Union should prohibit flights for which there is a train alternative that takes under 6 hours instead of just two or three. Such a measure would eliminate about one-third of Europe's most popular short-haul routes. But Mr. Schuster maintained that consumers are ready for such a shift. A recent climate survey found that 62% of Europeans support a ban on short-haul flights. The biggest obstacle, he added, would be making sure that rail options are at least as affordable as flights. The fact that Europe's vast rail network lacks a single ticketing system presents another challenge, said Mark Smith, who runs the Man in Seat 61, a website with resources for train travel in Britain, Europe, and around the world. But he said that in many cases, trains are a good value compared with planes, especially when you account for baggage fees and the cost of getting to and from the airport. He added that many travelers still opt for the train, even if, in some cases, it does mean paying more for their ticket. People are fed up with the airport and airline experience. They want something less stressful and more interesting, he said, and they want to cut their carbon footprint. That was In Europe, It's Planes Versus Trains. For many travelers, rail is the way to go. By Paige McClanahan, April 5th, 2022. That's all of our program for today. I'm Leah Blackman for the Virginia Voice. You can listen to this program on demand anytime at www.virginiavoice.org.